We recently celebrated the 4th of July, the annual celebration of the day that our country gained its independence from Great Britain. It is a celebration and also a reflection upon the founding of our country as a new nation in the world. And one of the astounding features of the founding of this new nation in the world is our founding fathers based much of that founding of our country on biblical values. Another astounding feature in the history of America is how it grew so very fast. It grew very fast. It's what we would call being blessed. The vast Louisiana Purchase of 1803 expanded the country into twice its size, doubling the size of the United States. And the cost was only about 3 cents an acre for 828,000 square miles of rich farmland, including where we're living here in Arkansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, some very, very rich farmland was practically given to us. If you know a little bit about the history of that particular time, France had occupied the territory of Louisiana. And Napoleon actually had designs to occupy the territory, build forts and cities, and have it become a sort of new France. But because he got into various wars over in Europe and began to lose money, he needed to make a quick sale. And I'm kind of giving a quick history here. And he sold it to the United States for a bargain price, doubling the size of our territory. Then in the 1840s, some other territories were acquired, which actually brought our territory all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Again, growing very, very fast. Revolutionary improvements in transportation, the trains and the rail system, communications development in the telegraph and eventually the telephone, led to an expansion of the American Empire as it progressed in territory from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Very, very quickly, the United States of America grew as it was being blessed. After World War II, the United States emerged as the most powerful nation in the world. And rather than dominating weaker nations, as most empires have done throughout mankind's history, the U.S. even went on a program of rebuilding defeated enemies, helping Germany and Japan and other nations, and even went on to help other war-ravaged nations through a foreign aid program, something that was virtually unheard of in world history. These are examples of how the United States has been a blessing and received blessings, been a blessing to other nations around the world as well. Post-World War II, America was looked up to and respected for many years for its leadership regarding world affairs. However, things have changed in recent times. We look around at the state of our nation and our peoples in general and often shake our heads at the things that we see and that we read about in the news today on the news programs. Crime is out of control in many of the big cities, even reaching to the countryside. I think you probably heard about recently a shooting that took place in southern Arkansas where a mass shooting took place. Crime reaching into the countryside, protests, violence, and even murder are everyday occurrences. Extreme weather conditions are on the increase. And what is alarming is the number of extreme weather disasters that are taking place. Whether it be tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, or even hail, which are causing tremendous destruction and billions of dollars in costs overall throughout the country. Now the Bible, in God's Word, the Scriptures, reveals that there are definite reasons why there are so many calamities occurring today and why they are increasing in the days that we are living in. Many of the calamities that we see occurring today are the result of spiritual problems that our people are taking part of in their ways of living, in their lives, turning their backs on God. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And we will begin reading in verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 4. And if you recall the history, and we've been talking about this in the Isaiah Bible study history, in 722 BC, 722-21 BC, the northern tribes of Israel fell to the Assyrians. And actually there was two, Israel was separated into two nations, the northern tribes, 10 tribes to the north, and two tribes known as Judah in the south. And the northern tribes had fallen to the Assyrians. They had been deported and taken out of their lands. They weren't there anymore. And Jeremiah is preaching to the house of Jacob. Let's pick it up here in Jeremiah chapter 2, talking about Israel's unfaithfulness. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 4. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." Notice the house of Jacob and all the families of the house of Israel. The house of Jacob was the northern tribes that had been deported and taken away by the Assyrians. They were not there anymore. So who is he addressing here? Well, this is a dual prophecy, not only to Israel of the ancient times, but to the modern descendants of Israel, the United States and Britain, English-speaking peoples, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob and the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me, gone away from me, turned their backs on me, in other words, have followed idols and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord? You're seeking after God, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, because they forgot that God had provided for them and taken care of them. Through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. Again, God took care of them, but they forgot. Verse number 7, I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. And surely he did. That new generation of Israelites went into the promised land, as it's described, to eat its fruit and goodness. And also, this applies to the modern descendants of Israel as well. God brought those descendants into a bountiful land, a fruitful land. You know, you drive through eastern Arkansas, you go through Missouri, Illinois, you know, a lot of these places where there's fertile, fertile farmland, corn and wheat in abundance, blessings that God had given them. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know. The rulers also transgressed against me. All the leadership, the religious leadership and the political leadership, gone away from God. Let's drop down now to verse number 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The fountain of living waters, because God is the fountain of life. And yet they had forsaken, turned their backs on him, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Cisterns were clay pots that held rainwater, and in times of drought, they would need that water. And yet, you couldn't depend on those clay pots because they could break or fracture, and you wouldn't have any water at all. Better to depend on the source of life, the great God. Continue on in verse number 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? And they were slaves, the northern tribes of Israel, to the Assyrians who had taken them away. Verse number 15. The young lions, referring to Assyria, the young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. And we talked about how destructive the Assyrians were in that time. And that's what they did to the northern tribes of Israel. They laid their cities waste. Dropping down to verse number 17, after describing this judgment that took place, he says this. Have you not brought this on yourself? You've made your own road. You've gone down the road that you chose, and you brought judgment. Have you not brought this on yourself? In that you have forsaken the Lord when he led you in the way. They forgot God that had provided their blessings to them. Verse number 19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know, therefore, that this is an evil and bitter thing, that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem preaching, but the call was to the house of Jacob and all the house of Israel. But again, this was not heard by the northern tribes because they were in captivity. This is a dual prophecy and applies to the modern descendants of Israel. Verse number 17, Jeremiah declares the cause, the reason for judgment. And that reason, the cause for the judgment, is you have forsaken your God, the Lord. Verse number 19 is a warning to Israel. Here we see this word backslidings. But backslidings means turnings, turnings away from God, which not only ancient Israel did that, but the modern descendants of Israel have done that as well. There are so many statistics that I could cite where virtually large percentage of the people of this country don't even go to church anymore. A large percentage of the people don't even believe in God anymore. Turning their back on God. Forsaking the Lord also was a characteristic sin of the people, both ancient and modern Israel. Here in verse number 19, this scripture illustrates the cause and effect principle of prophecy. There is a cause and there is an effect for what is done. The cause here that's described is wickedness, backslidings, and forsaking the Lord. And the effect is correction and rebuke. Or if you're reading in the King James Version, the word is reproof. Correction and rebuke in the form of curses and calamities. And we're seeing much of that happen in our time today. Many of the calamities that we are seeing are increasing in our country. Crime, violence, murder, extreme weather incidents, and they are the effects of forsaking God, people turning their backs on God. For the modern descendants of Israel, that is the reason we see so many calamities happening today. The title of today's sermon is The Cause and Effect Principle of Bible Prophecy. The Cause and Effect Principle of Bible Prophecy. Today we will examine the cause and effect principle of Bible prophecy as it relates to the spiritual state of our nation. Again, calamities are happening because of this spiritual state, the sin, and specifically turning away from God and His Word. Many of the calamities that our peoples are facing today are consequences of their own sins. And God can, as He wills, He can use punishments to accomplish a greater purpose with His people. And His purpose is for them to repent and turn to Him. That's what God ultimately wants. But He can use punishments to get that to happen. So in the sermon today, we will examine several scriptures or prophecies describing the cause and effect principle. But then we're going to finish on the positive side, in the future, after Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when the calamities, the consequences will be understood, why they had to take place, when people learn what God is doing, and they actually repent and turn to Him. And that will take place, and we'll see that in these prophecies. Going back to verse number 19 here in chapter 2. We see this word correct, our English word correct, and that means to discipline or to chasten. I like what the theological word book of the Old Testament says about this word. It says this: correction here results in education. I think that's a very interesting comment. Correction results in education. In other words, to teach a lesson. Corrective discipline to try to get change to take place, repentance. And that's why God uses correction in judgment. We also see this word rebuke, or if you're reading in the King James Version, it's reproof. And that means to correct with a view to repentance. Another interesting meaning. Correct with a view to repentance. And that's why God does correct and rebuke. Let's turn a couple pages ahead to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah speaking of judgment, which had already happened to the northern tribes. Again, the northern tribes went into captivity in 722-721 B.C. Jeremiah began his ministry in something like 626 B.C., like 90-some years after the northern tribes had gone into captivity. And yet he's speaking to them and judgment about them. Jeremiah chapter 5, let's pick it up here in verse number 15. Jeremiah 5 in verse 15, he says this. Verse 15, behold, and there's that word to gain our attention. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. And again, for the northern tribes, they had already had that taken place for them. This is a dual prophecy, something that's going to take place with the modern descendants of Israel. Verse 16, their quiver is like an open tomb. They all are mighty men. I've been talking about in the Bible study series how the Assyrians were so fierce. You know, they led their captives away with chains and hooks in their nose. They were very, very brutal to their captives. Verse 17, and they shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Very, very brutal and destructive. Verse number 18. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord. And when we see that phrase, in those days, that refers to the last days, or what we could call the end times before Christ returns. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. In other words, by means of the judgment and the correction, he's not going to destroy all of the people. He says that in verse 18. Verse number 19, and it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do these things to us? You know, why are these calamities happening to us? Why so many of them and so fierce? Why is this happening? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. Verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob. House of Jacob, referring to the northern tribes, not the house of Judah. And proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, without spiritual understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. You know, and we see that so much going on today where people don't even want to hear anything about God's word or religion. And generally speaking, many, many people are turning their backs on God today. Verse 22, do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual degree that it cannot pass beyond it? And through its waves, and though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, if they cannot pass over it. God is in control of everything. He's the creator of everything. Verse 23, but this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say, verse 24, in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful if the leadership today would say, hey, let's stop what we're doing. Let's stop what we're doing and get back to biblical values. Let's open our Bibles and begin to understand what God wants us to do. Of course, we know this is Satan's world, and he's controlling the leadership in this world and everything. But it would be nice if we could hear that. That's something we will hear in the future, though. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. God does bless us, both spiritually and physically, when we are obedient to him. But verse 25, your iniquities have turned these things away, the blessings, and your sins have withheld good from you. Again, why we're seeing so many calamities happening today. Iniquities that have turned people's back towards God, and sins that we withhold the blessings from them. Verse 25 explains the cause is the people's sins, which result in disaster and calamities. And like ancient Israel, the modern descendants of Israel have chosen to ignore God's word and his words of warning. We can sum it up. I won't turn there, but in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, you can write that in your notes if you'd like to. Galatians 6 and verse 7, where it says, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. God allows people to reap what they sow. And judgment follows that in the form of correction and rebuke. Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81. We'll start out with verse number 8. Psalm chapter 81 in the inscription says, this is a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 81 and verse number 8. Verse 8 we read, hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. You know, we have the gospel message being preached around the world and, of course, across this nation, thundering out to try to get people to listen to God's word. And yet there's so many that have their ears stopped, hands over their eyes. They don't even want to hear God's word. And yet God wants his word to go out. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. Dropping down to verse number 11. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. And that includes the modern descendants of Israel, too. And it's getting worse all the time. Verse number 12, because of that. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. You know, they're going to reap what they sow, in other words. Verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to me, God says, that Israel would walk in my ways. And that's God's desire, and that's what he wants his people to do. Verse 14, I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. God would be there for us if we would walk with him as a nation and a people. But God gave them over to their own stubborn hearts, it says here in verse number 12. Their own desires and reasoning. And again, to reap what they sow. I'd like to go now to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I don't know if you recall this when we were going through the book of Deuteronomy, but chapter 8, 28 is what we call the blessings and cursings chapter. Moses was giving this sermon to the new generation of Israelites, and also a message to all of us as well. It shows blessings for obedience to God in basically the first 15 verses. And then from verse 16 to 68, the cursings for disobedience to God. Very heavy in the last part of that chapter on the cursings for disobedience. We won't go through this whole chapter, but we'll touch on various parts of it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, again, a warning of blessing for obedience and cursing for disobedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now think about the last part of verse number 1 for a moment in a reflection of the history of our country. There was a time when we were above all the nations of the earth, taking care and helping other nations of the earth. But unfortunately, we're backtracking and we're falling. The admonition is to observe carefully all the commandments. Verse number 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse number 3, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the country. That's a totality of blessings. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in the city or in the country, you'll be blessed. Verse number 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed, verse number 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. For obeying God, blessings all the time. A wonderful thing to contemplate, to be blessed all the time for obedience to God. Going down to verse number 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in all his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Verse number 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And notice this, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And there was a time, going back in our history, let's say after World War II, where we were a lending nation, helping other nations out, rebuilding after World War II, etc. But now the reverse is happening. We have become a borrowing nation. And I think most of you know it's somewhere around $34-35 trillion in debt now. And they're even saying that possibly by the 2030 something, if things keep going on the way they are, we could be $50 trillion in debt. God says it here. Blessings will be lending nation if we obey him. Verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods and to serve them. And that wraps up the blessings section for obedience to God. And then in verse number 15 begins the cursing section for disobedience and goes all the way through to verse 68. We're just going to touch on some of it here. Verse number 15, It shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Again, throughout the rest of this chapter through to verse 68. Verse 17, curse shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Curse shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Doesn't matter where you turn, you're going to have these calamities take place. Verse 20, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke, and that in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, in which you have forsaken me. Notice here, it says here in verse number, get here. Verse number 20, the cursing, it talks about cursing, confusion, and rebuke. Cursing, obviously, is the opposite of blessing. Confusion, or if you're reading in the King James Version, the word is vexation, means confusion turmoil and disturbance. We see that going on in our nation today, in the cities, and protests and violence taking place, confusion, turmoil, and disturbance. And this word rebuke, this is the only time this Hebrew word was used in the Bible. And this refers to the conclusion of all the activities of the people, the judgments that they receive when they turn away from God, all that they reap from what they sow. Verse number 21. The Lord will make plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Verse 23. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. This is talking about disastrous weather patterns that lead to droughts and crop loss. And we're seeing much of that happen today with the floods, tornadoes, etc. Calamities that are taking place. Let's drop down to verse 43. Verse 43. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. The Bible Knowledge Commentary has a very interesting comment here about this verse. It says this. The alien, that's a foreigner that comes into the land, the alien would profit at Israel's expense. And we see that happening today, the alien profiting at Israel's expense. Verse 45. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 44. He shall lend to you, but you'll not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail, falling farther and farther behind. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. And here's the reason. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. In verse 46, and they, these curses referred to in verse 45, they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever. Israel would become a sign and a wonder. In other words, an example, a demonstration of reaping the rewards of disobedience to God. Reaping what you sow, a sign and a wonder. It can also carry the meaning of a warning or a lesson, a warning to the people of our day that calamities are the result of disobedience to God. And the curses on disobedient generations would be a warning to the people and to their generations forever. A warning that God gives to Israel. Let's go now to Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Much of Ezekiel's message was directed to the house of Israel. But again, as I mentioned earlier, they had been taken into captivity. They had been exiled. So much of this message that Ezekiel has, not only for people of his day, but it's a dual prophecy for the modern descendants of Israel at the time of the end. Ezekiel chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Ezekiel 7 and verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel. Again, they had been taken away and taken out of their land, the northern tribes of Israel. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways. And will repay you for your abominations. That correction and that rebuke to try to learn a lesson because of what they had been doing. Verse 4, my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's what God wants his people to understand. That's the reason for the correction and the rebuke, a teaching lesson, a learning lesson, to understand God is the creator of all. He's in control of all. And we have to be obedient to him. Let's drop down to verse number 23. Verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Again, what we see today. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses, and I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Verse 25, destruction comes. They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. They will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. It's going to be too late to try to seek counsel from any religious or political leaders. They won't have the answer. Verse number 27, the king, the leadership, will mourn. The prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. That correction and that rebuke to try to learn a lesson. Then the last part of verse 27, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Again, the reason why so many calamities occurring today. A teaching lesson that people are going to learn why that they have reaped what they sowed. Correction, as it was put earlier, correction which results in education. That's the bad news, the calamities that are happening today. But there's good news in the future, specifically when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Because prophecy tells us they will repent. They will turn to God and be brought to the land of promise. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. We talked about the backslider earlier in the book of Jeremiah, how the backslider turns away from God, turns his back on God. Well, this particular section has a title to it, beginning in verse 15 of Isaiah 57. And the title is Healing for the Backslider. There is going to be a healing for those that had turned their back on God. Isaiah chapter 57, beginning in verse number 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God does want to have a relationship with his people. He does want them to have a humble spirit. And to have a heart, a contrite heart. That's what he desires. Verse 16. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. God's not going to have that anger and that judgment forever. But he's trying to teach a lesson to his people. I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Verse 17, for the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. That's the reason for the judgment, in other words, and the calamities. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. Even though calamities come upon people, they keep on doing the things that they are doing. The backslidings and forsaking the Lord. They haven't learned the lesson yet, but they will. Verse 18, I have seen his ways and will heal him. That's a promise from God. He will heal his people. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. God says, I will not contend forever in spite of the rebellion of Israel. God, in his mercy, looks to the restoration that he has planned for them. And he says, I will heal them after their repentance that will take place. God also says in here that he's going to give them guidance and comfort. Continuing on in verse number 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. God repeats it again. There is going to be a healing process between him and his people. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up the mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. But God will restore Israel in the future, which is pictured by their complete healing, which God wants to do. Let's go to another scripture here in Isaiah, which we read earlier in the Bible study series in Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13. Isaiah chapter 27, verse number 12. We saw this earlier in the Bible study series. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass in that day, one of those phrases referring to that time when Christ returns to this earth, and he will begin to gather up his people from the faraway places. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh, or gather, in other words, from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt. And you will be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. Notice when this will take place, verse 13. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown. Of course, we keep the Feast of Trumpets, picturing the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And when that trumpet is blown, is part of that process that's going to be happening is Israel is going to be gathered from the faraway places where they had been scattered to. It shall be in that day that the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. And the reason why that they're going to be doing that is because that healing process will have taken place. Repentance, turning back to God, getting away from the backsliding, the forsaking of the Lord, and actually turning to him in repentance. And God will be working with them. They'll be gathered together in the worship at Jerusalem. A very wonderful picture to contemplate of the future of Israel. Let's go to one more scripture here, one section of scripture in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we'll begin reading in verse 22 and go through to verse 28. What we are going to be reading here was never fulfilled in ancient Israel or Judah, but it will be fulfilled in that day in the future. Ezekiel chapter 36. Beginning in verse number 22. Ezekiel 36. Verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Instead of being an example to the rest of the world, which God wanted Israel to be, they profaned his name by going after other gods and pagan gods and forsaking him and turning their backs on him. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Because there's going to be a change that will take place with these people. That healing process of repentance and turning to him. And the other nations of the world are going to see that. It's going to be an example for them. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. We just read in Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13, where that's when that's going to take place, and the gathering that will take place to eventually where they worship the Lord in Jerusalem. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Of course, water symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and people are going to have a repentant attitude. They're going to be like many of us were when we were approaching baptism. And what's that formula in baptism? Repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Upon repentance, you get put under that water. You get put under that water. Symbolically, you are cleaned. Your sins are forgiven. They're buried under that water. Then when you're brought back up out of that water clean, you walk with God in harmony with God. And that's what's going to be taking place with millions of people in the future. What we have experienced, others are going to experience that. That healing process will be taking place. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. And people will look back after having learned the lesson, and they'll say, why did I do those things that I used to do? Why did I worship the way that I did? Why did I sin the way that I did? Boy, I'm glad I've learned that lesson. Verse number 26, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Spiritual restoration that will take place, which will be the most important for the people who will be living in that day. There'll be notable changes taking place, and it will start with a change of heart for Israel. And it's going to be reflected then as an example throughout the rest of the world. Verse number 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Healing process taking place. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. A total change of character with God's laws written on hearts and minds, and the ability to actually keep God's laws by means of the Holy Spirit. That wonderful healing process that will take place, learning the lessons along the way. But what will happen eventually then? The nation of Israel will fulfill their role as kings and priests, to be an example to the rest of the world. Remember when God brought Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19? That's what he told them he wanted them to be, a holy nation, a nation of kings and priests. They never fulfilled that in their history, but they will in the future when these things take place, what we're reading here in Ezekiel chapter 26, when they have a new heart and a new spirit within them, and God's Spirit helps them to walk in God's ways. They will finally fulfill their role as that of a teaching nation and to be an example to the rest of the world. That is the reason for the correction and the rebuke, the calamities, to learn those lessons, to have a change of heart. God makes it plain. There are blessings for obedience to Him. But there are cursings and calamities for disobedience. That's why we see so many of these calamities today. Oh, that our nation would hear the word of God and turn to Him. That's what we can pray for and look forward to, that healing process that will happen in the future, praying for God's kingdom to come. It's been nice to be with all of you here today. I hope all of you that are connected by Zoom have a good rest of your Sabbath, and look forward to being back in a couple weeks to present the Bible study, Isaiah chapter 38 and 39.